This podcast is produced by KPP Financial. Steve Peasley, President. KPP Financial. Independent thinking, shared success. And now today's podcast.
Good afternoon, everybody, and welcome to the April 19th edition of Invest Talk. Our goal, our one we share with everybody, is financial independence. That's my goal. That's your goal. That should be everybody's goal. Don't want to be relying on anybody but ourselves. So let's work together toward that. Now, we're here to bring information, perspective. I make no promises other than to say, with practice and using investment principles that guide you, you'll get rich, but you'll get rich slowly. There's no magic formula. There's no tricks, no special chart reading or magic. There's nothing. It's hard work, and it takes time, but you can get there. And you don't have to be a genius, nothing like that. Just have to be steady, be consistent, and know what you're doing. So we're here for any money questions you might have. Our live line is now open, 4 to 5 Pacific time. It's always the same, 888-99-CHART. The majority of successful couples have one thing in common, effective communication. Now, being open and honest with your partner builds trust and makes for a stronger relationship. We all know that. However, money can be difficult. Money, the topic of money, a conversation between a couple can be very, very difficult. But it is one of I think it is number one as far as reasons that couples break up. I think that's true. But I'm not positive. It's number one or two. Communication is the other. But if you talk about it beforehand, talk about all those things before you get married or before you decide what to do with your money. That's what you'll get. It'll be a lot smoother. And so that's going to be one of my talking points today. And of course, I got others. I always have others, right? But your talking point is number one, not mine. Yours. I want to talk about healthcare in retirement, how much is going to cost you. The largest companies underperform. I want to talk about why the largest companies underperform after a 10-year period. I'm going to give you some statistics about why and how that works. And I want to talk about ETFs. Remember my concern about passive ETFs and the massive amount of money moving into it? Well, I read some statistics today that I want to share, and it reduced my concern somewhat on certain parts of the market and increased my concern on other parts of the market. So I'm going to talk about that. Those are things we're going to discuss, but your phone call comes first. So let's get to work and answer some questions. Now, I'm open to any money questions you might have. 888-99-CHART is what we call our anytime number.
Hi, Justin. My name is Mike. I'm from Vacaville, California. Very, very new at investing and just found your podcast and listening to it every day. So my question is, we are on a pretty limited budget and I'm allocated about $200 a month to invest. So I'm wondering if commission-free ETFs is the way to go. And also, we have our emergency fund in savings. And would I be better off putting that into some type of money market account? Thank you very much. I enjoy the show.
Okay, yeah, you'll be better off in an ETF, a broader index. You can buy the whole S&P 500 if you want. SPY is the symbol. QQQ is the NASDAQ 100 that has more tech companies, QQQ. That's usually more volatile. And the DIA is the symbol for the Dow Jones Industrial 30, the 30, not the 30 largest, but 30 very large companies. In the marketplace. You can buy any of those. There's Russell 2000. There's a lot of ETFs. I have a list of ETFs that concentrate on paying dividends that I give people whoever want them. But, you know, that's the way to go. At 200 a month, just keep putting it in. Keep putting it in. Don't just keep doing it. No matter what the market does, down market, up market, doesn't matter. Just keep doing it, and you'll be fine. You'll eventually have a lot of money. Now, your emergency money, you know, you can put it in a money market. You won't make any interest. You can put it in ultra short term bond fund that you'll get like 1.5% to 1.7% return on. There's several of them out there. I have a list of that as well. If you need it, you send me an email at spz@investtalk.com. I'll send it to you. But that's what you do. You don't take risks with that money that you're going to be, you call emergency money. You don't take any risks with it. You don't invest it in the stock market. Okay? We talked often about earnings yield and return on equity and all those fundamental numbers. And there are a couple of other metrics that we like that we, you know, there's a lot of them that we don't talk about because they get, you can get very, very, very in depth. Okay? But there are ones that you need to understand. Free cash flow and payout ratio, for instance. A company with positive free cash flow is financially flexible. It can do things. They don't have to go out and borrow money. They don't have to, you know, issue more shares or issue bonds. They have the cash. They can use that money to reinvest in their own business. They can raise the dividend with that free cash flow. They can buy back shares, acquire another company. All for free cash flow. So if having a company, buying a company or investing in a company with free cash flow all the time is very, very good. When a firm has negative free cash flow, they usually have to borrow money, sell assets, do something, you know, to continue their business. A payout ratio is a figure that only applies to companies that pay dividends. Okay, and of course, companies that pay dividends are very popular in today's market because you can't make any money on your money. So giving a dividend is at least something. The payout ratio measures what percentage of the earnings the company has made is being paid out to the shareholders in the form of a dividend. How much of the earnings are being paid out to you? Some industries like master limited partnerships and REITs, real estate investment trusts, have high payout ratios due to tax consequences and rules. But normal industries and sectors have more flexibility. They can or cannot pay a dividend. They can choose to or choose not to. When a firm's payout ratio rises above 60%, and we're not talking about master limited partners or REITs, we're talking about normal companies. When the payout ratio is above 60%, it's time to start getting a little bit concerned. If it gets above 80, you should be skeptical because it's hard to maintain that for very long periods of time. It's just they're paying 80% of their money out to you in the form of dividend. They don't leave enough in the company for them to be flexible. Free cash flow, but back to the free cash flow idea again. Now, so these are can be pretty important metrics to take a look at. And of course, there are dozens of those fundamental numbers, lots of them. Now, if you have a question about these, let's hear from you. 888-99-CHART. Let's take a quick look at the market today. What happened? The Dow was down 83. It was down a lot more than that, double that during the day, came back. The NASDAQ was down 57, so it led the way on the downside today. And the S&P was down 16. So you had a weak day. We've had several up days in a row. So, you know, it's to be expected. Earnings are very good. We're in the part of the earnings season where it starts to pick up speed, the announcement of earnings. And so far, they've been very, very good. And we kind of expected that. I mean, we already kind of knew that. I think earnings this year are going to be very good for corporations. This is Invest Talk, everybody. I'm financial advisor Steve Peasley. What money topics on your mind? If you hear a term you don't understand, give me a call. I guarantee you, you're not the only one that has a question about that. So Justin and I throw around these terms pretty easily: PE ratios, fixed annuity, 529 savings plan, all these things. But if you don't know what we're talking about, don't hesitate to call. We're open to any money questions, beginner experience, it doesn't matter. 888-99-CHART, how you get through right now on Invest Talk.
Listening to Invest Talk, what impact will taxes and inflation have on your retirement lifestyle? What if you want to go back to work? When should you take Social Security? Let's talk about it. 888-99-CHART is how to reach Invest Talk right now.
Hi, Steve or Justin. This is Dave from New York. I have a quick question regarding AT&T. I'm looking for roughly 1 year horizon, and I'm looking for roughly 12 to 14% return, including 7% of its dividend. What is your opinion on AT&T for next 1 year? Thank you.
Well, I don't think it'll move much up or down. It's stuck in a range right now between like 32 and 38 and 40 cents. So $32 and $38, that's where it's kind of stuck in that range. But it pays a very nice, fat dividend, 5.7%. It's going to be able to pay that dividend. It has the cash flow to do it. It's a $34 stock, and the P/E ratio is about 10 based on next year's earnings. But it doesn't grow. It's kind of flat. The earnings are flat. I mean, sales are flat. And so it's not growing very much, and it probably isn't. Okay, not going to grow. But it is on the low end of its P/E range, and if you're going to buy it, this is where you're going to buy it. But don't expect capital appreciation from it. Expect the dividend. You buy this for the dividend. AT&T, I mean, it's either AT&T or Verizon. AT&T is a $213 billion company, and Verizon, which is VC, is their competitor. And that's a $200 billion company. So now the thing about Verizon, it has a little bit of growth to it. Not a lot, but a little bit better than AT&T. But it only pays a 4.9% dividend. So it pays a little less dividend. So AT&T is good if you're just looking for the dividend. There's nothing wrong with that. 888-99-CHART, 888-992-4278. So April is Financial Literacy Month. Justin and I are drawing your attention to some ideas to help land you in a smarter place when it comes to money. Will your teenager be working this summer? Before your teens start earning, encourage them to come up with a plan for the money, not just earn it and spend it. You know, it'd be simple. It can be simple things. Maybe just an allocation between what they spend and what they save. Maybe, help, to buy a vehicle. I know that's popular. Help to buy a vehicle. My parents, they co-signed on a loan. I only borrowed once to buy a car, and that was my first car. Never did it again because it's just too expensive. But what it is that it's good to have a goal in mind when they're working in the summer. It don't have to be a big one, but what you're trying to do is teach them how to save, teach them how to set up a goal for their self and for the rest of their lives, how to plan with the money. It's just important for them to learn concept, how much hard it is to earn it, how hard it is to save it, how hard it is to grow it, those kinds of things. It's just really good teaching for your child or your grandchild. Okay? So, there's different websites that could help you. JumpstartClearinghouse.org is one. Talk about financial lessons. And, I just think it's really good that educating kids about money is in their teenagers, because they certainly don't do it in the schools. Schools don't help at all. So, anyways, go to jumpstartclearinghouse.org. That's a good place to start. And I don't have any affiliation with them or anything. I just think it's a good site. This is Invest Talk. I'm going to be in San Jose next month on May 2nd. San Jose, May 2nd. So if you want to meet with me, I set aside that date for meetings to take a look at portfolios. I may be changing that date, but right now that's the date that we have set up. Of course, these are informal sessions. We reserve the hour for you, and we just talk about your finances. And if you want to set up a time, go to investtalk.com and click on the Invest Talk tab. You can do that right now. I welcome any money questions at 888-99-CHART.
Invest Talk continues on a service of KPP Financial. And before we get back to your calls, here's a reminder about risk. How much can you stand? Take our free risk analysis quiz on investtalk.com.
Now it's time to bring your money question to the table. 888-99-CHART is our anytime number.
888-99-CHART. Let's talk to Bruce in Fresno. How you doing, Bruce?
Good, Steve. I'm wondering about how much weight do you put on insider buying, like board of directors all of a sudden buying? If you're watching a stock and it's been basing for quite a while and then starts, and then all of a sudden you notice buying by the insiders, do you think that's telling you anything?
It is, but I don't want you to put a lot of weight on it, Bruce. It is telling you when they start to buy that, because when they buy, they're using their own personal money, okay? So that tells you they have some faith in the company. But you really can't tell for sure because they might be exercising options, too. The company gives them options, and they're buying it because now it's worth money because the price went up. So it's not a totally clear signal for us lay people to say, oh, okay, the insiders are buying it. So what you really want to look for is a lot of buying. That usually gives you faith that at least the insiders think that things are good. But sometimes they're wrong. Bruce, they're just plain wrong sometimes.
Well, how do you tell a lot of buying?
You can tell by... Well, it's difficult for you because you don't have the software that you buy. I'm thinking of where you can get that on the internet, and it's just difficult. What you can tell is you can tell the number of times. They don't usually announce the number of shares that the insiders bought, but they tell you if they keep doing it, at one a month, the next month, they keep buying. But I'm trying to figure out where you can get that information. I'm not sure. It's more important that more than one is doing it, too. More than one of the insiders, That information is, it's out there. It's public information, but it's not very well known. I just don't want you to put a lot of weight on it, Bruce. Find the fundamentals and make sure the company's fundamentals look good. And them buying is just like icing on the cake.
Yeah.
And one other thing, Bruce... Them selling means virtually nothing, by the way. Them selling. So don't put any weight on selling at all.
They sell periodically just because they have to or something? I don't know. Yeah.
Well, that's one way they get money, because you're compensated in stock. And, you can't buy groceries. You can't buy a new car. You can't buy the house. You know what I'm saying?
Right.
So they sell pretty consistently.
Okay. Thanks a lot.
Appreciate the call, Bruce. Thank you very much. 888-99-CHART. That's talking about insiders buying. Insiders, and all that information is public. And remember, insiders cannot buy with inside information that the public doesn't know. They can't do that. It's illegal. People go to jail for that. Okay? 888-99-CHART. Okay, 6 money topics that every couple should discuss. Usually, before you get married, would be the smart thing to do. One of them, remember, we're talking about money. Joint or separate bank accounts. I've seen this work in different ways. You can have one account, and you both write checks on it, or you each will have your own accounts, and you have, each responsible for different paying bills. I've seen it work many different ways. It doesn't matter how you do it. There's no good way or bad way. There's only agreement, and both of you are content with that agreement that this is how we're going to treat our money. We're going to combine it in one checking account, pay our bills from it, and we'll both take an allowance to spend on whatever we want. However you want to do it, all the important part is an agreement. How to do it. That's the important part. And you both have to be on the same page as far as debt. For instance, we're going to buy a new car. One of you might want to buy a Maserati. The other one wants to buy, a Toyota Tercel. Very different. How much money are you going to go into debt? One of you may not want to use credit cards and get buried in debt. One may. So you really have to discuss debt. And my personal opinion is try to stay away from debt as much as possible. budgeting. I've seen people budget and people be very unsuccessful for budgeting. People don't pay much attention to it even when they set up a budget. So if you're going to do a budget, make sure you stick to it. Stick to the budget. And before you get married, you might want to talk about children. Children are very, very expensive. Wonderful. Love them. But they're expensive. So make sure you talk about children. How many are you going to have if you're going to have it? If you're going to have it, is one party of the couple going to stay home, or are you both going to work? Who's going to raise the child? And then, of course, retirement. How much money are you going to save for retirement? How much out of every paycheck are you going to save for retirement? Do you both agree on the same amount? Maybe you both have 401k plans. Maybe you don't. You got to talk about it. You will retire someday. Someday you will. So what's coming up on the next Invest Talk? Falling short. 5 tips for investing in your 50s. That will be on the topic of the next Invest Talk. That's Friday, tomorrow. We're here to answer any of your questions. Any many questions about money, anyways. Call me now at 888-99-CHART.
Our podcast continues now. First, a couple of words for KPP Financial. We make many money choices, of course, and we try to be objective, look at the facts, look at our life situation. Some people choose to work with a registered investment advisor to help them in this pursuit, and one of the most important reasons is to be defensive, keeping risk at a minimum. It's not only a way to share the worry, it becomes a practical matter. A professional advisor has the resources and the experience. They study the market. They anticipate what might happen. For more than 20 years, KPP Financial has been serving clients all across America, and they're accessible, responsive, and maybe most important, the KPP principals invest right along with their clients. Parallel investing. To find out more about it and their programs, go to investtalk.com, click on the investment tab. Now let's continue with the podcast. This is Invest Talk, and we're glad you're here. Whether it's a stock or a money matter that's got you stumped, give Steve a call between 4 and 5 p.m. Pacific and have a conversation. He's open to any money question right now. 888-99-CHART.
888-992-4278. Let's go talk to Will at San Diego. How you doing, Will?
Oh, pretty good, Steve. I was looking at ticker symbol PCAR, and I think I missed the bottom, so I'm wondering if it's still worth taking a look at.
Okay, that's PACCAR. PACCAR, Inc. manufactures light, medium, and heavy-duty commercial trucks and related aftermarket parts. So this would be pretty cyclical stock, right? Because, you know, in a growing economy, you know, usually these, you know, the trucks are sold and transportation is in hot demand. And, yeah, are you too late? I'm going to say no. I don't think you're too late. I don't. It did hit the bottom at around, you know, in a low. It would have been great if it got to $60, $61, $62. But it only got down to about $63, $64 before it started up again. But it's only at 69. So that's about, what, 8%, 9% return? I think it's on its way up to the high 70s or low 80s. So I don't think you're too late. It's a really solid company with solid growth prospects going forward. It was shrinking for a while, but the last three quarters, the growth, sales growth has just constantly increased. And I think you're going to see that for the next year or two. So I do think that it's still a good bargain. You could buy it here and hopefully it will keep rising. Because I do think it's worth about $80 to $85 a share. Okay?
Oh, great, great. Yeah.
Thank you for the call. PACCAR.
Thank you very much.
PCAR, everybody. It's a big company, $24.5 billion in size. So it does about $5 billion a quarter. So that's $25 billion a year, and it's a $25 billion one-to-one relationship, market cap to sales. That's pretty reasonable. And it's going to make $5.58 next year, a $69 stock. That's pretty reasonable. I think it's reasonable. 888-99-CHART. Okay, healthcare. healthcare costs in retirement. I've mentioned this before. By the time when you age 65, out-of-pocket money till you die. They've just done a study on this, by the way. Fidelity did it, did some calculations in which it says that they're going to be. It's going to cost you about $280,000 out of your pocket from age 65 until you die, about 90. And that's having insurance, Medicare, we're including Medicare, because $53,000 will be for drugs, out-of-pocket expense for drugs. $106,000 will be Medicare Part B and Part D premiums, $106,000. Then $120,000 for co-payments and deductibles. You'll be paying all of that. And just so you know, since 2002, this cost has gone up 75%. So it's going to continue to rise. This is not static numbers. They're going to continue to go up. So you have to be prepared for that with your money. You have to be prepared for that. So when you retire, make sure you calculate, I'm going to need some money for out-of-pocket health expense here. So just make sure that's part of your calculations when it comes to retirement. 888-99-CHART, 888-992-4278. We're going to get back to the phone right now. And this number is always the same, 888-99-CHART. And, it's our we call it our 24-hour listener line.
Hey, guys. This is Daniel from Orlando. Just giving you a call in regards to Tupperware. The symbol is T-U-P. Obviously, it's taken a pretty big tumble this past year or so. Just really like that yield to be over 6% now. And assuming the yield is safe, I'm just curious to see what you guys think for a very long-term hold. I know short-term there might be some issues, especially in emerging markets and things like that. But I'm just curious to see what you guys look at it as a long-term hold for core position in the portfolio. Thank you.
Actually, I think this is a pretty darn reasonable price. It's been weak, so you're going to have to wait till it shows some strength coming back in. You want to see some strength coming back into it before you buy it. But earnings are going to be $4.79 this year. That's down from $4.84 last year. But next year, they're going to pop back up to $5.03. It's a $42 stock. That means that PE is around, 8.5 or so? And the five-year range is 8 to 18. Pays a 6.4% dividend. It's a $2 billion company, so it's small caps, not a huge company. Tupperware brands, everybody. Manufacturers and network marketing offering food storage containers and preservation items. So it's not an exciting company, but it's the kind of company you want to buy cheap, and you buy it for the dividend, and it's fairly darn cheap. And hopefully you'll see it hold the bottom. It bottomed out a little bit below $42. You hopefully hold that bottom. It was down today. But you want to see it trade sideways and then start up before you actually buy it. But it's a good one to have on your watch list if you're looking for the dividend and want to buy it for that long-term dividend. Tupperware, T-U-P. What I like that management owns 3%. Mutual funds are slowly buying. What I don't like about Tupperware is that it doesn't have any catalysts to make it really, what's the catalyst to make this, take off? Don't really have one. That's what I don't like about it. Question left on InvestTalk.com from Nav in Bakersfield, California. Hello, I bought 50 shares of Micron Technology. The symbol for Micron Technology is MU, by the way. Back in early March 2018, so that was, only a month and a half, 2 months ago, the stock started dropping following the earnings reports last month, even though they beat earnings expectations. In their earnings call, management noted that their earnings may drop a bit in 2018 due to a nitrogen supply shortage at their Taiwan plant. My question to you is that if the current price is good, if I want to add to my existing position of Micron Technology, 50 shares, should I? I'm thinking of adding about 25 more now and 25 later. Okay, let's take a look. Micron Technology makes DRAM and nano, flash memory, image sensors used in computers, servers, and consumer electronics. Sales are growing about 50-60%, but this most recent quarter. But they were growing 70-90% quarter before that. It's a $51 stock. Going to make $10.98 this year and $9.95 next year. So it's really kind of inexpensive. And why would it be inexpensive? Because the earnings and sales are very erratic. They're good now. They've been increasing in recent quarters. 2 years ago, sales fell 25% in one quarter, then fell 11%. Then they started to turn around, growing. So it's very erratic. Therefore, you know, that's one of the reasons why earnings PE ratio is so low. Okay. However, as far as I'm concerned, this is probably a buying opportunity. It went down to about 47, which was support, and is starting to bounce off of that. I think that this is a buying. It got up to around $62, fell down to 47, now it's 51. That's a good, decent 10-12% pullback where it is sitting now, and it has started to move up a little bit. I think this would be a good place to add their extra 25 shares if you wanted to. Long as it's not a big part of your portfolio. In other words, long as it's not more than 3-5% of your portfolio, yeah, you can add to it. Now, just remember, it's pretty cyclical and volatile in its sales and earnings. At least it has been in the past. MU, Micron Technologies. 888-99-CHART. Let's get back to the 24-hour listener line. Pick up another call, 888-992-4278.
Hey, Steve. This is Zach from Delaware. I just had a quick question. So say you have about $10,000 in Apple, right, one of these overvalued blue-chip technology stocks. Would it be smarter to leave it in and wait for this, say, bear market for the stock to decrease and then reinvest in that? Or is it best to take it out now while it's overvalued, wait until the stock does eventually decrease, and then reinvest in the stock? I'd love to know your thoughts. Thanks. Bye.
Trying to time it like that is almost impossible. What happens is Your psychology gets involved. Let's say you decide to sell it now and you're going to wait till it drops. Okay, and let's say it drops. How much? How long are you going to wait? Is you going to let it drop $20 a share? $50 a share? And are you going to buy it as soon as it makes that drop? It drops $20 and then you're going to buy it? What if it keeps falling? See, the trick is you don't know how to get back in. It's very difficult to get back in. So trying to in and out, that's almost impossible to do. So a company like Apple, if we're talking about Apple, I would just hold on to it. Okay, Apple's not that expensive, by the way. So I know you used that as an example. That's not that expensive. Now, if you're talking about maybe Amazon, where the P/E ratio is over 300%, 300, I wouldn't buy more of that right now. I'd be 10 to 1 to cut it back, but I wouldn't get out. I would not. Because timing the market doesn't work. Trying to buy things cheap is a good idea, but it is difficult to know what is cheap and when to buy it. If it was easy, everybody would be multi-billionaires. It's just not that easy. So don't try to time it. It's too hard. Okay? Let's go to Wendy in Chino Hills. How you doing, Wendy?
I'm doing good. Hi, how are you, Steve? Haven't heard from you.
I'm good.
In a few days.
Yeah, I was actually on a vacation for about a week.
Nice. Alrighty.
Yeah.
I have a question regarding KB Home today. I think they dropped some today. I didn't know. I keep an eye on my watch list. I want to see if it's a good value now, and also if they are still have potential to grow for the next few days. I mean, the next few years. Also, if the President Trump stayed on the president for the next extra 4 years, would that beneficial this company too? Builder market.
Okay. KBH is KB Homes, everybody. It builds single-family attached and detached homes, townhomes, condominiums in 7 states across the U.S. It's a $2.3 billion company. It's a small cap. They're going to make $1.72 this year, then $3.15 next year. So they're going to have a big bump next year. They acquired a lot of land in the Bay Area, by the way, just last month. I saw that. So, oh, man, they spent a lot of money buying that. So a return on equity is pretty low at 10%. The PE is pretty low, too. It's a $26 stock, and it's going to make $33.15. So the PE is going to be about 8, and the low range of the PE is 10 to 112. So it's going to be way below its low. So it had a bad day today, down 7.5%. Did you see that, Wendy?
Yeah. The bad day. You know what happened? I didn't find anything.
I'm have a feeling it was about. It had to be about earnings. I didn't see why it fell that hard either. And I'm not sure. It has to be about earnings, but you know, it doesn't have to be. But that would be my suspicion. I saw the new home starts report today, and it was pretty strong. So that's pretty strong for the builders. So this might be set up a time for it to be a buyer of this stock. But let's wait till it recovers, Wendy, because it's down big today. Let's make sure it doesn't have a follow through tomorrow. Do you want to buy it? You're thinking about buying it, right?
Yes. I started watching when it was like the last year, it was like $16-17, and it kept going up.
Yeah.
And then all of a sudden, it dropped. So I want to find out, like you said, don't catch the following knife. So I want to double check with you before I do anything.
Yeah. Yeah, don't buy it yet. Let's wait till it settles out, whatever's happening. I want to know. We need to find out why it fell 7.5% today. My suspicion is earnings. Remember, interest rates are rising. Mortgage rates are going to rise slowly. But I don't think that will stop the housing industry. Recession stopped the housing industry, not necessarily raising interest rates. And they're raising really slow. So I don't think that should stop you from buying something like this. But let's just wait till it settles down and then take a look at it again, okay?
Okay.
Thanks for the call, Wendy.
Thank you very much.
Take care. Let's go to Shelby in Fremont. How you doing, Shelby? Oh, she's gone. Okay. Call back if you want to. Okay. You know how the largest companies did so well last year? We're talking about big blue chip companies. Do you know what happens historically after big let's take the 10 largest companies in a particular year. The 10 largest companies in a particular year. Because they ran up in price. What happens in the subsequent 10 years after that? They did a study on that. Wall Street Journal did. I'm going to share that with you. Now you get the last word on our last segment. We have time for questions to help us wrap the program, actually. I wrap up the hour. So you have one shot at it, 888-99-CHART. You can join the discussion now.
Let's get back to your calls on InvestTalk for this Thursday, April 19th. This is the decade when the costs of kids, aging parents, cars, and homes all converge, and questions about retirement begin looming large. Falling short? 5 tips for investing in your 50s. That's next time. You have a question for Steve right now? 888-99-CHART is how to reach him on InvestTalk.
888-99-CHART, we're going to go talk to Shelby in Fremont. How you doing, Shelby?
Hi, Steve. I'm doing good. How are you?
Good. Thank you for the call. I appreciate you calling back.
Yeah, sure. Sorry, I got disconnected. It was iffy here. Anyway, so I had a question for you about the SunPower stock, SPWR, is the symbol. My husband holds a fairly large percentage of his portfolio on this particular company. We were wondering what's a good time to sell. We knew it was not doing well for a while, and now it's started to pick up. So we were just wondering if this is a good time to sell. What are your thoughts on that? I can take the answer offline. Okay. Thank you.
Shelby, let me ask a question before you go. When you say he owns a lot of stock, as far as his overall portfolio, is it like 20%, 50%? How much is a lot? Oh, okay. Anyways, I'll answer either way. Okay. Some power company manufactures high-performance solar electric power technology using proprietary processes. It is a $1.3 billion company. It does not make money. Hasn't made money since 2015. Before 2015, it used to make money. And then 2016, it lost 62 cents. 2017, it lost 25 cents. 2018, it's going to lose 58 cents per share. And next year, it's going to lose 9 cents per share. So it's starting to improve again. And the stock popped up for two reasons. One, it was upgraded by an analyst a couple days ago. And another, it bought one of its rivals. Okay. So the analysts felt that sales were going to start to increase. Well, maybe so. I would sell back, if I had too much of SunPower, I would sell back into the recent rise. I'd sell something tomorrow, and if it keeps going up, sell a little bit more. Sell a little bit more until you're down to a level that you feel comfortable owning. Or, for me, I would not buy the stock because they don't make money yet. I don't like that. But it looks like it's turned itself around. Let's go to Cal in Richmond. How you doing, Cal?
I'm doing good, Steve. How are you? Love your show.
Good. Thank you for the call. Thank you.
You want to talk about... I have a question on the company for Mankind. Ticker symbol is MNK. I want to get in, but I'm not sure if the company is making money right now.
Okay, this symbol, M as in Mary, N as in Nancy, K as in, I don't know, K.
Yes.
Okay, there's a D at the end. Okay. I was going to say, that's not Mankind. Okay, let me put that D in. Okay, there we go. They don't make money yet. Haven't made money since their existence. That, of course, means I don't buy it. I noticed that there's a lot of insiders buying this stock, though. But, you know, it's so small. It's a $220 million company. They don't make money. They only do $4 million in sales a quarter. This is way speculative. So this is, they develop treatment for cancer and diabetes, including a dry powder insulin formulation and a proprietary inhaler. But they don't make money. It's $1.79. I would not buy this stock. It's way too risky. Way too risky, Cal. If you wanted to buy this stock, just make sure you understand that you could lose all your money because they don't make money. Insiders are buying a lot, though. So maybe they know something we don't. Thanks for the call. Noel in Napa Valley. How you doing, Noel?
Good. Good to hear you, Steve.
Thank you.
Yeah, you ever do any IPOs? Probably not, but maybe for yourself. I was looking at one that sounds interesting. It's Pivotal Software. They do software to make using the cloud easier for clients.
Uh-huh.
EVTL.
Well,
I don't know. You probably can't see anything on them on your end without doing some searching.
No. Right. And I do not do IPOs. Why? Because
right.
The IPOs that they offer to you and me usually are bad ones. If they will sell you an IPO, that means they couldn't sell it to their institutional customers, the big banks mm-hmm. who sponsor the IPO. If they can't sell mm-hmm. it to the institutional right. customers, that means it's not a very good IPO. Then they start calling you and me up, the smaller guys. And that means it's not very good. So, no, I don't do IPOs. I just don't. Thanks for the call, Noel. I appreciate it. Time to end the hour. A reminder, I have a new date for portfolio reviews. My next visit to San Jose, everybody, is Wednesday, May 2nd. Time to start to fill it out. Fill that appointment schedule out there. May 2nd in San Jose. Reserve your hour. Just go to investtalk.com. I'm financial advisor Steve Peasley. Justin Klein, I thank you for making us part of your day every day, Monday through Friday, 4 to 5 Pacific time. Love you. Love to have you on the show. Love your calls. Thank you. So let's do it again tomorrow.
Because of the nature of the interactive dialogue inherent in the format of this program, it's important for the listener to understand that not all comments made will apply to them specifically. Nothing said shall be taken to be investment advice, or shall statements on this program be considered an offer to buy or sell securities. Such advice is rendered solely on an individual basis, and at times will require that the investor review a prospectus before investing. InvestTalk is a copyrighted program of Klein Pavlis Peasley Financial, a registered investment advisor, which retains all rights. For more information regarding KPP's investment advisors, call 1-800-557-5461.